Hebrews chapter number 11. You might turn there with us. We'll just read the one verse. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're looking in verse number 20. The Bible says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Isaac blessed Esau, Jacob and Esau. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you bless the reading from your word and the study thereof. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and we're looking in verse number 20. The Bible says again, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Concerning things to come. So, by faith, the first few words here, it was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So what's that got to do with anything? How's that? Well, let me say it this way. If I had promised to give you something, but you hadn't ever got it, would you will it to your children? Would you write it in your will if I said, now one of these days I'm going to give you something, but I ain't going to tell you when and I ain't going to tell you where, but now one of these days I'm going to give it to you. In your will, if you'd lived all your life and I hadn't never followed through with my promise, would in your will you say, now, I want my sons to inherit that thing that Brother Barton promised he was going to give me but never did. Would you put it in your will? Isaac did. Isaac willed it. That's what he was doing. He was a willing it. If you will, he was a passing the baton. You say, the baton of what? The baton of promise. He had never got it. He never did get his hands on it. But he believed it enough to pass it on. And you know what else? The boys believed it enough to fight over it. That's something interesting. And you know, the more I've studied it through the years, I never really totally understood the whole thing with Jacob and Esau. But I've begun to understand after, really, I guess in this calendar year, probably more than ever before, that Jacob, he thought enough of that which had never come and that which had been promised to trick his brother out of it or to buy it from him. But on the other hand, Esau thought little enough of it to sell it for a bowl of soup. Now that ain't much. And the Bible says after that he despised his birthright. I'm going to say that I think he despised it the whole time. Because if you didn't think much of it, you would sell it for more than that, wouldn't you? I mean, if you didn't think... Do you follow what I'm saying? Birthright, smirthright, what does it matter? We ain't getting nothing. Yeah, this God of daddies, he promised him all this. We ain't never seen nothing. We ain't never seen a sign of it. And we're supposed to inherit it? And God's going to pass, and we're supposed to inherit this. This thing that Abraham never saw it. Grandpa Abraham never saw it. And Daddy Isaac never saw it. And you trying to expect me that I'm supposed to live my whole life of hoping for it? Nah, I'm going to take what I can get right now. Hold my bed, boys. I'll give you a bowl of lentils. I'll give you a bowl of red bean soup for it. Sold. Not to the highest bidder, to the only bidder, to the first bidder. I'm wondering if he didn't pay too much. I'm wondering if Jacob couldn't have got it for less than that. You follow what I'm saying? I'm wondering if he wouldn't have said, Esau, do you believe all that stuff Daddy's been telling us? No, I don't believe it. You? Yeah, I do believe it. Well, if you believe it, you can have it. It's yours. He might have got it for nothing. Does that make any sense? You say he ought not have tricked him for it. I didn't say it was the right thing to do, but I will say this. It was the right thing to want. He might have went about it the wrong way, But at least he wanted that blessing. Esau had it and didn't want it. Jacob wanted it and didn't have it. Now look at the situation. It's not too hard to talk something out of somebody out of something they don't want. And I used to feel hard at Jacob for buying it, but the more I think about it and the more I study it, the harder I feel at Esau for selling it. Would you say amen right there? I believe that falls on Esau's head. So how do you know? Because that bloodline split. I mean, that thing, it switched roles. And that bloodline took off down Jacob's line and not Esau's. And of course, we could go in and I'm satisfied that it did not catch God off guard. I'm satisfied that it did not in any way surprise the Lord. But the Bible says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now again, the words, the actual words of the blessing, he gave them. And of course, he gave both the sons a blessing. He tricked him out of the second one. He gave him that the birthright, but then he gave him that blessing. And of course, mom had a hand in that one. And he went in. Isaac was hard of seeing, and by that point older, and he tricked him into thinking that he was the other son. But there again, Jacob was, the word Jacob means a supplanter. And by the way, old Jacob paid. He paid. Sure he paid. He ran from God till God touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and then he limped from God from there on in. Or I'd say it this way. He run from God, and then he limped for God. He run from God, and then he limped for God from that point on. But you know, there were some tricks played on him too concerning Joseph. And then even, as bad as it sounds, even Joseph concerning Benjamin. There were some things done and concerning Simeon, concerning the other brother. And so there is, if I can say it this way, there is the proclaiming of faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. If there wasn't anything to it, why would you have bothered to hand it down? He believed there's something to it. You see, he had been on the mountain. He had seen God rescue him. Isaac knew he was a goner, and he had seen Jehovah Jireh supply for his own life. He had never seen this city whose builder and maker was God, but he had seen Jehovah Jireh, and he had seen that faith that Dad had, and he had seen God deliver him, and he believed it was worth passing on. I hear a lot about the younger generation. Everybody throwing off on the younger generation. Well, can I ask this question? Could it be that this generation don't think enough of what they got to pass it on? How serious are we about what we got? I can assure you that your young'uns won't think as much of it as you do. If you don't think nothing of it, they won't neither. And if mom and dad's Sunday morning Christians, then chances are children are going to be Easter morning and Christmas morning Christians. And that's about the size of it. Maybe homecoming and a wedding and a funeral every now and then. And that'll be about the extent of it. So there's the proclaiming of faith. But then also there is the power of faith. The Bible says, by faith, Isaac blessed. He blessed him. He had faith in God's word. He believed God, and he used that. He believed in what God had said, and it was again, every time we say faith, we're not talking about some fuzzy feeling. We're not talking about some warm intuition that you got. That's not what faith is. The faith the Bible speaks of is faith in God's word. And God had said to Abraham that in thy seed all the nations shall be blessed. And that brings us to the premium of faith. You see, the premium of faith was not just, I'm going to bless Isaac, I'm going to bless Jacob. Son, I just got something for you, and that's as far as it's going to go. I don't think Isaac was naive enough to think that Jacob had it in him to bless the whole known world. But somebody was going to. Somebody somewhere down the line, it was going to happen. That somehow God was going to bless the whole universe. Every person on earth was going to be blessed. Every nation, kindred, and tongue was going to be blessed through Isaac and through this seed. And so God gave him that. Of course, Galatians 3:8, I say again, is the fulfillment of that. The book of Galatians, chapter number 3, tells us that that was fulfilled, how that God fulfilled that. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 8. The Bible said, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He said in verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. The justify the, all the world, I don't include that, just the Jews, but it includes the heathen, doesn't it? And that he would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, that's a key right there. Galatians 3:8 is a key to a whole lot of things. You get a hold of Galatians 3:8 and it brings to light the whole patriarchal line. It brings to light the whole Old Testament. When you understand that all the way back at Abraham, God was planning on a church, a Gentile church. He was making provision. We were not plan B. We were not a second thought. We were not, God didn't have to right quickly go to the drawing board and see what he could come up with. Bible says that Christ was the sacrifice. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Somebody said, did God plan for man to sin? Nobody made provision for man's sin. That's right. He made provisions for it because he knew he would. And so I think about what the Bible says. And what the scripture tells us concerning these boys, one was after the flesh. He was a hunter. He was a man of the field. He was after those things that he could see now, the pleasure he could have now. The other one, he was apparently interested in things beyond, bigger than he was. But the Bible says, the book of Genesis, chapter number 27. Genesis 27. I'll look there just quickly in one verse. Genesis 27. And in verse number 3, or verse number 33, actually. Genesis 27, in verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. And yea, and he shall be blessed. Think about that. Isaac said, I've blessed him. I've handed down the promise. And he's going to be blessed, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Because God's word has been God's word on it. In other words, it's settled. It's already happened. It's already been determined. I've blessed, and the scripture says, and he shall be blessed. He had, obviously, he had made the wrong choice. But the point of the matter is that he believed God to the point that he couldn't say, well, this is just something that I'm doing. Ain't nothing to this. You know, oops, let me erase the backboard. Let me come in here. Okay, let's fix this. No, take yours away. Let's fix it. Okay. It's okay. Now I've got it straight. Okay, now you're going to be blessed. No, he believed exactly God's word. And he said, he's going to be blessed. I said he was going to be blessed. And this is how it goes. God told Abraham he is going to be blessed, and he is blessed. Abraham told me I was going to be blessed, and I've been blessed. I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be blessed. And Esau comes in, he said, wait a minute, you've made a mistake. And he goes, I've blessed him, and he's going to be blessed. Too late. Sorry. Can't help it. It's the way that it is. And again, one of the things that we've got to be careful in is we have to understand God knew all along, but we can't justify. You can't justify wrong actions. You can't justify. How many people will say, well, I got saved in prison. And we would say, oh, it's a good thing to go to prison. People get saved in prison. Oh, it's a good thing to go to prison. No, it's never a good thing to go to prison. It ought not ever to be your desire to go to prison. It ought never be your goal to go to prison. It ought to be your goal to stay out of prison. You don't have to go to prison to get saved. Can I say it that way? And anybody would say, boy, I hope my kids grow up and mess up so they can go to prison so they can get saved. Anybody here want to pray a blessing like that on your children? Boy, I hope my kids go to jail. Don't have to be that way, does it? But can I say that God's big enough that if they do go to jail, God's big enough to save them behind the jail bars? And I know some, that's the only time God get them still enough to save them. It's the only time God get their attention enough to save them is behind for sale door. And I say thank God in that particular instance and in that particular life, thank God they went to prison if that's where they met the Savior. But I would be crazy to say, boy, I hope your children grow up and go to prison. No, that's crazy. I wouldn't wish that on mine. Don't wish it on mine. I won't wish it on yours. You understand what I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make there? Didn't have to be that way. It was. And God worked it out in the counsel of his own will. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that it didn't have to be that way. And I want to give you one final thought about this thing. And I'm just on this one verse. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac had never seen it. He was going off of a promise. But he thought enough of it to deed it. And he thought enough of the deed that he couldn't just, it wasn't just something hocus pocus. Does that make sense? It wasn't something that was just. Do y'all ever remember here in the mountains? You don't hear much of it now. But when I was a kid, and I, by the way, I'm not endorsing this. I'm just saying this is the way it used to be. There was a lady lived over across the river. She could take out fire. What does that mean, preacher? You get burnt, she could take fire out. There was a woman that if you got poison on you, got poison ivy, she'd cure it. And you didn't have to even go see her. You could call her on the phone. As a matter of fact, you didn't even have to call them on the phone. You could give, my aunt could call her and tell her my name. Or tell her your name. And she could carry it over the phone. You say you believe that? I that ain't where I'm going. That's the point I'm making. Stay with me. Okay? I remember one that could take off warts. Woman could take warts off. Sure enough. That's what I'm thinking. What else? Blow out fire. Stop blood. And this is what they always said. Number one, it was always a very secretive thing. They couldn't even tell me the name of the person who could do it. As far as the woman that could take the poison. She said, "Now I can't tell your name. But I know her. And I can call her. And she'll fix it." I was at Sammy Allen's camp meeting. And I was just a young preacher. And there was a young fella come down the aisle. His daddy was up on the front row. I guess he's sitting back here with some boys. He was probably 8 or 10 years old, if he was that old. Me and Matthew was just a little boy. We were staying in the dormitory with the preacher's dorm. And this boy come by holding his nose, and I saw blood on his shirt. He went to the bathroom. He'd gone and gone and gone. They was preaching. And his dad never even knew he was back there. So finally, I told Doris, I said, "You watch, Matthew. I'm going to go back there and check on that boy." I went back there, and he is standing over the sink letting his nose bleed. And he had been bleeding now for, I guess he had been bleeding 15, 20 minutes. And I'm not talking about no small one. I'm talking about a major nosebleed. And so, what do you do? So I sent after his dad. And so he took him over to the dormitory. Well, I set out to find somebody. And I come around the side of the building, and here's Brother Sammy. And I said, "Brother Sammy, we got a boy who's bleeding." And I said, "He's just about bled out. He's real weak and just real..." And I said, it's getting scary. He said, "Well, go to the cafeteria and ask Mrs. So-and-so, ask for Mrs. So-and-so." I said, "Is she a paramedic?" And he said, "No, but she can stop blood." Well, I really wanted a paramedic. But when you're Sammy Allen, when Sammy tells you to go do it, I guess you go do it. So that, you know what I did? I went to the cafeteria looking for this woman. So I run all the way to the cafeteria, and I run and I said, is Miss So-and-so here? And nobody answered. I said, "Miss So-and-so," and this woman working, and finally she said, "Yes, that's she's over here." I run through the kitchen, run back there too. I said, "Ma'am, I'm out of breath." I said, "There's a boy bleeding and real bad, and got a bad nosebleed." And I said, "Sammy said, get you, you'd know how to fix it." She said, "Lord, son, I can't run all that way." I said, "Well, it's important. He's hurting bad." And she said, "Son, I'm old. I can't go run over there." And I said, "Well, what are we going to do?" She said, "Well, you do it." I said, "Me do it." She said, "Yeah." She said, "I ain't supposed to tell but one other person." And she said, "I'm supposed to tell somebody before I die. I'm supposed to tell one other person." She said, "But if it's an emergency, it's an emergency." She said, "I'm going to tell you how to do it. Now you go do it." And she gave me the chapter and the verse and told me what to do. Well, I'm terrified because I'm thinking, number one, I don't believe this. Number two, if this boy bleeds to death, they're going to have me up for murder because I didn't believe it, you know, and I've let him bleed to death, sure as a world. Anyway, I took off over there. opened my Bible, scared to death, just a jerking, put my hand on his forehead, read the scripture. And I didn't know what to do. So I prayed on there a little bit. And I was afraid to look up, because I was afraid to open my eyes because I didn't know what would be the outcome. And I felt some commotion, and he sat up on the side of the bunk, and he pulled that brown cloth away from his nose, and it was dry. And somebody said, "Preacher, do you have power to stop blood?" No. Did that woman have the power to stop blood? I ain't going to go there. What was funny was she believed it enough to where she told me how to do it. So it wasn't in her power, but it was in the scripture and the power of the scripture. And she told me, and she believed it enough to believe that I could handle it and I could go do it. So whose faith was it? Well, I can assure you, it weren't mine. Okay? So let's get that right straight. The preacher's a faith healer. No, I'm a faithless healer, all right? If there's ever been any healing done, it was cut me out of the equation because I didn't believe a lick of it. I just afraid I was going to get in trouble with Sammy Allen. And you ain't never been in trouble till you've been in trouble with Sammy Allen. I just afraid that I was going to be in trouble with Sammy Allen, and I was acting out of absolute fear. And that's the only thing I was doing. But the fact of the matter is that boy's nose stopped. The fact of the matter is, he didn't have to go to the doctor. Fact of the matter is, he went back into the service. And the fact of the matter is that he grew up and probably had a family and don't even remember it. Well, what's the point? The point is that she believed it enough to pass it on. Sammy believed it enough to go get her. He didn't try to do it. He didn't get his Bible. And Sammy, son, if my nose was bleeding, I'd want Sam Allen to pray for me. I thought he'd go in there and fall down and pray for him. No, he sent me to the mess hall. As far as I know, he never even went in there. Well, it looks like the thing of faith to do would have been to fall down and call all the preachers out there and have a prayer meeting, praise God. We got a young and a bleeding to death. Never interrupted the service. He said, "Go get Miss So-and-so. She can stop blood." So I went and got Miss So-and-so. She could stop blood, but she couldn't run. And had bad knees. And wasn't willing to go. So instead, she sent me. Does that make any sense? And I didn't believe it for 1 minute, but I was desperate. And I sure was hoping it would work. But I knew I couldn't stop bleeding. And if they was expecting something that I could do, the hip boy, he's in trouble. Matter of fact, I wasn't very spiritual that week. I'd been rooming with a bunch of preachers. And they had been laughing to 2 o'clock in the morning. About the time I'd get Matthew to sleep, they'd get up and get in the stinking showers and start singing at the top of their lungs. About 4:30 in the morning. And I'd had a week of that, and I was just about up to here. I wasn't ready for faith, son. I was ready to fight. I didn't get blessed. I got backslid. I was about as mad as a bull at that crowd. And the only reason we hadn't left is because we couldn't. But I wasn't in a good humor, and I wasn't in a good situation, and I was not. It was not the week, can I put it this way? It was not the week for me to take up faith healing. Anybody following that? Wrong week. I've had weeks I might have tried it, but that wasn't one of them. But the bottom line was that Sammy believed it, that she believed in her, and she believed in the Word. Somebody said, "Well, reckon his nose would have stopped bleeding if you hadn't have said that?" Might have. It may have already been stopped time I got over there. I don't really know. I didn't really investigate it to that end. But it taught me a lesson that rather than him calling off service and calling 50 preachers in there to call out and pray for this boy who I thought was a dying, he said, go get Miss So-and-so, she'll fix it. I went and got Miss So-and-so. She said, I can't go over there. My knee's bad. You do it. And I went and prayed over him and read the scripture, and his nose stopped bleeding. But here's the thing. If I had walked out of there and said, that's crazy. I ain't a-doing that. I'm going to go back into service and sit down, and they can just call the undertaker when he bleeds out. Can you imagine the guilt? What would have been? I learned a valuable lesson that day. What was it? That somebody believed in something enough to hand it down. This woman could only give it to one person, and she gave it to, according to what she said, but she gave it to somebody she didn't know because it was an emergency. But she believed in it that much. She believed in what she had that much that she handed it down. Now, I ain't supposed to tell you that. It breaks the cycle. I ain't supposed to tell you how to do it. I ain't supposed to tell you what verse it is. It's supposed to be this big clandestine secret, or I'll lose my power. So see, I've done blowed that. So I'm out of business. But I will say this. And I don't have it in this Bible, but my other Bible, I believe I can turn to it and find it. I've got it marked, just in case I ever need it. Because I ain't right sure what stopped that boy's nose from bleeding last time, but I know one thing, it stopped. It stopped. I believe that's about where old Jacob was. He didn't rightly know what he had, but he knew he had something. Bible says, things not yet seen.